Greetings, dear ones. Once again, can you feel the energy in this space? We have created a portal of interdimensional healing and integration. There has been so much light generated in the process of all the experiences through this weekend together. And you'll feel this energy within the cellular structure of your being for many days to come. You see, light through ascension is an integrative process. You are developing the capacity to carry light. The ascension is a journey, and it must be this way, dear ones. For you see, the integration that you are undergoing requires a huge metamorphosis in both your energetic nature and the energy with which you commune. For this reason, it is a step-by-step process that occurs. Simultaneously, it is not a linear process at all. It is more a decree. For you see, as your soul steps into the power of undergoing the ascension process, it oversees the process of its complete development. Each one of you will integrate the energetic ability in your body to receive more and more higher dimensional light. You will receive the ability to communicate more consciously and more profoundly with the higher self aspect of your own internal nature. You will carry healing frequencies in your very being. Where you go, healing goes with you. Where you stand, light is present. Where you love, transformation is at hand. This, dear ones, is your sacred destiny. For you see, on a level sometimes far beyond the conscious awareness of your mind, you have chosen this pathway. You have volunteered, so to speak, to participate in the ascension process of this precious planet, in this precious solar system, in this vast galaxy, and to be part of this sacred transformation. Do not be deterred by images on the screen of perceptual 3D reality. They are transient, and they are part of an evolutionary process that will lead to the development of a much grander potential for humanity. One day, in non-linear time, you will gaze at this moment and realize you have played a role in the ascension of the planet. Ascension is a multifaceted and multi-purposed experience. It begins with what we perceive in many ways as healing, and subsequently transformation, and eventually integration. Integration of higher wisdom and sacred knowledge and its application in ways that you are only beginning to conceive at this time. You must be patient with the process, otherwise you are disturbed in your own presence. And that, dear ones, is not what we dream for you, nor you dream for yourself. As you learn to integrate these higher frequencies, these higher multidimensional aspects of energy and consciousness, as your 24th chromosome flares open and exposes you in your human consciousness and experience to information that is contained within this space, and as you expand your mind to understand the nature of the family of light, and one day encounter them in a conscious and present way, you will journey. At this time, each and every one of you plays a fundamental role in the process. You can see in some ways that you yourself are a portal for transformation. As you live, breathe, and journey through the crystalline grid of this planet, you are anchoring in new frequencies, new geometrical configurations that will serve as living blueprints for the future. These are organized patterns of energy that will allow for the subsequent development of forms that reflect their harmony and balance. And the wisdom that may flow through these sacred geometrical patterns to create new potentials and new opportunities for humanity. This is a building process. As a farmer plants seeds in the field for future development, for future immersion of plants and nutrition, we too are planting seeds. You too are planting seeds. We are but farmers of light. As we plant this potential in the crystalline grid, and we expand the light to nourish these seeds, you see, you are building the new world. You are becoming the new human. And one day, this will materialize in the most magical expressions, in ways you cannot even genuinely conceive of at this moment in time. However, in the deepest recesses of your memory, you are very aware of the potential of which we speak. You are seated with this wisdom, and you are connected to this wisdom in ways that are so profound and mysterious and magical. This is who you are. This is one aspect of what you are doing in your life on the planet at this time. Your intent has brought you forward to become more aware of the nature of the process. And the universe in kind responds to your intent by bringing you layers and levels of ascension transformation. You speak of star beings, but we say to you, you too are beings of stars. You are made of stars, and as your energy continues to grow and expand, you shine like stars. And one day the planet will be filled genuinely with this light. And we will celebrate together as we understand what we have done together. We celebrate you. We honor you. We encourage you. And we nurture you. We remind you, you are never alone. For you see, dear ones, we too are with you, as are many others in the family of spirit, and that together, through the light of the eternal sun, we are with you, we are with you, for indeed we are one. And so it is.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. As you see the two on the stage, there would be those who would ask, Kryon, do you know of the Blue-White Collection? What do you think? The collective is more than you think. It's a name. So you will know there's a group. There's colors that correspond with the teaching. We stand side by side with those from the stars, the entities that perhaps are angelic, with the same message for humanity. And we do it differently because the human beings that get selected to deliver the message have different personalities, different backgrounds, and we use their specialties. It is the end of a two-day conference, and these will be the last words in channel, in transmission, given to you now. And so what I wish to do is something I have not done for some time. I would like to give you a parable. I am known for giving parables of woe. Now, woe is not a man or a woman, and I will talk about woe, and I will have his pronoun a man. Woe is a woe man. He can be either gender, but for the story today, he was a he. This is the story that paints a picture for all of you, and there is a reason why I have selected this. Sometimes stories will be remembered even further than facts and figures and things that I would normally say. This is a story of woe and his demons of choice. Even as a child, woe was bothered by those that would chase him, and it made him afraid. Even as a little boy in his room, he knew there were those around him. He could actually hear them. As a child, as an infant, he knew he could hear these ones. It was very frightening. Thankfully for him, as he got older, the sounds went away, but he could tell they were there. Everywhere he went, he absolutely knew he was being chased by these demons. So afraid he was that he would even test to see if they were following him from day to day. Sometimes he'd walk a little faster, and he knew they were there. He could feel them. As he grew up, one time he remembered, if I run as fast as I can, do you think they'll still be there, these demons? So he did a test, and he ran around the block until he couldn't even run anymore, and panting, and they were there. It took him a little longer to catch up with him, but they were there, all of them. And he thought to himself, would this be the way it is all my life? These demons will be there, following me, just waiting perhaps until I fall asleep or I get sick or something to pounce on me. And he was afraid. It tempered his life because he was always looking around to see if he could see them or somehow ditch them or perhaps somehow get rid of them. Yes, he went to his priest. Yes, he went through all of the things that they told him to do. But they were always there. Always there. Woe, of course, was a modern man, and this is a modern story. And Woe happened to see something one day because he was on Facebook. There was going to be a meeting in Rochester. He knew nothing about it, but it felt very good. There was going to be the professor there who was going to describe how these structures work within him. Maybe the professor would be able to answer about the demons. There was going to be someone else there, a man who talks to an entity on the other side of the veil. The entity sounded just like spray paint. Krylon. He had to go. Had to go. And so he slowly made his way, got his ticket, and he went to that city. It was a first for him. He had tried everything. But he thought to himself, these feel like angelic beings, and from the stars they must have messages that will tell him, give him some hope. He sat in the meeting the first day enthralled by what he was hearing, but most of all, he felt complete and total peace. He didn't think the demons were there. They couldn't be there. There was too much light. He learned about that there was so much light around him with those that were attending the meeting that they probably chased the demons away completely. And he was satisfied with that. It's the first time that Woe had felt that peaceful. He remembers the time in his life that it was awful, when he was so sad that had a tragedy occur. And he'd climbed into the closet at that point saying, this is where I'll get peace. They can't be in here. The closet's too small. He got in the closet and he wept by himself at the sadness he was feeling in that situation. And he stayed there for a long time. Much to his chagrin, they were there. All the demons were there. In fact, they were making stupid noises to frighten him, make him feel worse than he was feeling. But he came to that meeting in Rochester and sat there and felt completely peaceful. Something was different. He went into the second day, and that's when it happened. The man who channeled the entity who sounded like spray paint, he went and took him to the Circle of 12. But he didn't go where all of the rest of the attendees went. He went to his own Circle of 12, his own soul experience. He fell into the portal and had one of his own, guided indeed by Krylon, but it was his own experience. He went across the bridge. He knew that this was the place where he would be safe from any demons to follow him ever, and he was right. He went over to his soul, like so many in the meetings did, and he went onto that stage and sat in that chair. And he thought to himself, if I could only stay here, I would be free completely. And then he was told, well, he can go there anytime he wants to. And he was calculating how he could do this when everything shifted, because he was led to see who was in the audience. There weren't that many. Unlike the rest of the group who had talked about a full audience, that he was seeing only really a few. But he really didn't see them until the light came on. A huge golden angel was there, greeting him, Woe, welcome to a revelation. And the light came on, and the Golden One said, let me introduce you to the demons. And there they were, all sitting together. And he said, I don't believe that. How could First of all, how could they be demons? They're small. Demons are huge. And the golden one said, let's let them talk. It seems like there was about 30 or 40. And one of them stood up and said, woe, we are what they loosely call your entourage. Every single one of us is of angelic form. And woe said, an entourage? I was never told about an entourage. And you can't be angels. You're too small. Why would you be so small? And the one looked at him and said, we love you so much. Woe, we're small, so you'll know we're safe. So that if you ever caught glimpse of us, and sometimes humans do, that we would not frighten you because we love you, woe. And the spokesman for all of those little angelic beings that were the entourage spoke to him and explains it. Why did you walk so fast? Don't you understand that we have a hard time keeping up? And then when you ran so fast, we don't know whether we could ever find you. And we did. We chased you, and kept up with you, and whew, were we winded. And then, whoa, finally, we thought we had a chance in the day that you climbed into the closet. And we know you felt so bad. We were with you. You know, we felt everything you felt. We're your entourage. We're there for help and guidance and all that. You climbed in the closet and you wept, and we wept with you. Every single one of us was crying. I'm sorry we made so much noise that day and frightened you. Woe was taking all this in. And then the spokesman said, why did you think we were negative? Why were we demons to you? And Woe said, well, when I was a little boy, that's what I was told. I had to be afraid of those in the dark that I couldn't see, and they were after me, and all of these things that so many humans told me when I was little. They never told me I had an entourage. They never told me that there were angels that would accompany me through life that loved me. And then the spokesman said, I want you to take a look at who we are. Take a look. And Woe started looking in and saw that at least three of them had little bags of gold. There was one with a giant compass that he carried around. And Woe said, what is this? What? These look like toys. And the chief one said, Woe, these are the metaphors that you will see within us of what we're there for. We're there to turn on the light in the dark. We're there to help you find the abundance that you were after, to turn left and turn right. The guide with the compass, this is the one to help you to know where to go next. The intuition, one is back there, always wanted to be. He's yelling at you, and you never heard him, to turn right and turn left. There was another one, and all he wanted to do was hold your hand. We're specialists, all of us, he said. And all of us have something in common. We love you. And Woe said, why didn't you ever tell me? And that's when he said, because you never ask. Because you never recognize this. Every human being must give intent to see truth, to ask for the guidance that is there, that is sacred and beautiful and lovely. Woe started weeping right there on the stage, and he said, and when I go back across the bridge to live out my life, what happens then? And that's when they all stood and applauded, and they said, now is the time. Will you give intent, Woe, to be with us and let us be with you in the way that was designed? And he said, I give intent, I give intent, I give intent. Woe came out of that, sitting in this group with you, and realized that there were no demons, that all there was guides and angels and entourage, that this was the beginning of a new kind of life for Woe. This is the parable of Woe and the demons of choice. The demons of choice because he chose to see them as demons. Are you aware there is an entourage for every human here? It's similar, but unique to each of you. That's really the message. You're not who you think you are. You got a lot of help. You got a lot of love here. The meeting was over. One woman came up to Woe and said, "Well, it was good to have you here, sir. Tell me, what was your favorite part?" Woe, he thought to himself, "I'm not going to tell her about the demons. I'm too embarrassed for that one. I'll make it quick and easy." And he thought for a moment. He said, My favorite of all that I saw was on the second day when the professor said that I could ascend in a vehicle with an ice cream cone." And so it is.